Well, the time has now arrived. It's between two evenings, which is the command to actually take the Eternal's Passover. The sun has set. It's not quite dark yet. It's still twilight, which is the time that we are commanded to actually begin the Passover. So if we turn over to Exodus chapter 12, we find in Exodus chapter 12 the Passover of old and the way in which the Passover of old was limited to only certain individuals. If you look in verse 43, Exodus chapter 12, verse 43, it says, "The Eternal said to Moses and Aaron, 'This is the ordinance or the statute of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. You shall not carry anything of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with you, and will keep the Passover to the Eternal, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof.'" Now, it's very important that we have examined ourselves prior to coming into the Passover, and we've recognized the steps that we took when we were initially baptized. And it's only those that are actually baptized that are present at the Passover service, in fact, Passover ceremony. It's a case of recommitting our ways to God, remembering where our strength actually comes from. It comes not with any righteousness that we ourselves have. It's something that we have, in fact, been given. It's a gift from Christ, from God the Father. And it's a sacrifice that was made in order for the very plan of God to even begin. Without that sacrifice, there would be no plan of God. We would have no hope, and we would simply die, and that would be the end of our lives. We are told to examine ourselves, and we're also told that we should go ahead and eat and to drink. If we turn over to Luke chapter 22, Luke 22, we find in verse 7, it says, "Then came the day of the unleavened," when the Passover must be killed. It's the time when the unleavened, the leavening was taken out of the houses. "And he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat.'" And down in verse 14, "And when the hour was come," and that's why we've waited until twilight, because there's a certain set hour that you wait until, "when the hour has come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, 'With desire, or I have heartily desired, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" If we go back to Matthew chapter 26, and in verse 17, it says, "Now the first of unleavened," or the first of the unleavened, is the beginning, is the time when unleavened bread was actually eaten, first of all. "The disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, 'When will you that we prepare for you to eat the Passover?'" And if we go down to verse 30, it says, "And when they'd sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." In verse 26, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink, drink you all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they'd sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." If we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we've just read how Christ is not going to partake of the Passover until, or partake of any wine at all, until he drinks it new in the actual kingdom of God. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.'" And he went through a beating so that we might be healed. "This do in remembrance of me." It's a memorial. It's a memorial of the very death of Christ. "And the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes." So it's looking forward into the time when the kingdom of God will be here on earth, which is when he'll drink that wine new in the kingdom. But we keep this Passover year by year as a memorial, and it's a memorial of his death. And his death was for sin, and it's to cover sin of all kinds. That is the meaning of the emblems, the two emblems that we'll be taking tonight. "Therefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily or in an unworthy way shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." We examine to make sure that we are indeed repentant, that we have turned, and that we are willing, our intention is to turn and to walk God's way. "For he that eats and drinks unworthily or in an unworthy way eats and drinks damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." So we see that it's very important that we do take it worthily. But it does say that examine, and so let him eat, and so let him drink. So we should be eating and drinking the Passover. God wants us to go ahead and partake of it. But when we do, we come before it reverently, and we come before it in the right way. If we turn back to John chapter 6. Just as in ancient Israel, it was a select group of people who took the Passover, and only a select group. It was the ones who were part of Israel. And the Passover was an identifying sign of that fact, that they were part and parcel of Israel. In John 6:44, it says, "No man can come to me except the Father that has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day." Now that last day is the day of trumpets, the last day of this age, and that's what we're looking for, that's what we're looking towards. But none of us here are here by our own righteousness or by anything that we've done ourselves. It is purely the Father has chosen and the Father draws, and only that group. It is a very special group, just the same way as Israel of old was a very special group. If we go over to verse 53, one of the identifying signs of this special group, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you.'" You cannot go on to take anything else. You've got to take the Passover. You've got to accept that sacrifice. And without accepting that sacrifice, we can't go on. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day." Now the first thing that occurred, if we turn over to Luke 22 again, back into Luke 22. There was something going on during the Passover ceremony when Christ gave us the new emblems that we're going to be taking this evening. And in Luke 22 and in verse 24, it says, "And there was also a strife amongst them, which of them should be accounted the greatest," or the greater. "And he said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors.'" In other words, they exercise lordship, and then they demand subservience from those that are underneath them, and they then will go ahead and benefit them. And you can see this within Gentile rule. But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the youngest. And he that is chief, as him that does serve. For which is greater, him that sits at meat, or him that serves? Isn't him that sits at meat? But I am among you as him that serves. You are those which have continued with me in my trials, and I appoint to you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed to me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So these 12 apostles were to be part of that kingdom. This is where it's all leading to. That is the purpose for our calling. That's the purpose of being part of this special group. But this must be the first stage. And the first stage, as is being pointed out here, there was a problem, that there was a confrontation between them. If we go over to John chapter 12, in John chapter 12, we find the source of what we're about to partake in, because in John chapter 12 at the end it says in verse 49, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father that sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting." It's going to lead to life everlasting. "Whatever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, so I speak." Now, he mentions in verse 34, a new commandment, of chapter 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. In that way, you love one another." Now, we look at the way in which Christ loved each and every one of us, and we have got to love one another in the same way, so that there will be one family in the future looking into the kingdom of God. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And Christ gave an example within this passage of Scripture, within this particular time when there was a confrontation, actually at the Passover service, at this when the Passover was implemented. And we find that in chapter 13, verse 1. In John 13, verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper having occurred," as it's better translated, "the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and that he went to God," that he was God in that sense, "he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I do you do not know now, but you shall know hereafter.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' And Jesus answered him, 'If I wash you not, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'He that is washed need not except to wash his feet, but is clean every bit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, You are not all clean.' So after he had washed their feet, and he had taken his garments, and was sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you?'" And that included Judas Iscariot. So there was not the problem as far as Christ getting on his knees and washing the feet of Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, and he knew very well he was about to betray him. "You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, then happy or blessed are you if you do them. Now, this is why Mr. Armstrong put this into the Passover ceremony. It's part of the Passover ceremony, because that's what Christ did. It was the introduction into the Passover ceremony, and it allows us to get ourselves into the right frame of mind, and so we will, at this stage, therefore, wash one another's feet. We now come to the first of the emblems, and Paul points out that the act of actually taking this emblem is very similar to the act of ancient Israel, that they actually partook of eating the Passover lamb, and therefore that made them part of Israel. However, the meaning of the emblem itself, if we go to Isaiah 53, it says in verse 1, it says, "Who has believed our report?" Isaiah 53, verse 1. "And to whom is the arm of the Eternal revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, and carried our sorrows, our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now it's very clear, it's made clear in Matthew 8, that this is referring to a physical sickness, that with his stripes we are healed. And certainly if you turn over to Psalm 103, the parallel between physical sin and spiritual sin is actually given within these verses. But in Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Eternal, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Eternal, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits." We must remember all of his benefits. "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." So it's clear that the healing of the diseases are part of the benefits, just the same as forgiving all your iniquities. "Who redeems," that's buys back, "your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." So he buys us back from destruction, both spiritually, as according to verse 3, and physically also. He is buying us back from destruction. If we go over to Luke chapter 5, in Luke chapter 5, Christ pays the penalty with a broken body for our physical sins, buying us back from destruction. Luke chapter 5, verse 20. He says, "And when he saw their faith, he said to him, Man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering them said to them, What reason you in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or rise up and walk? The two are equated together, that sin and healing are tied together. And he redeems our life from destruction, both physically and spiritually as well. But this particular emblem that we're about to take is for our physical healing, as we've read already over in 1 Corinthians 11, where it's broken for you. And it says, "For this reason many are sick, and many sleep." If we turn over to Luke 22, in Luke chapter 22, again, this is where Christ implemented this emblem. Luke 22, verse 19. And he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So we're doing it in remembrance of his death, and that death was for sin of all kinds, and this particular emblem, the emblem of the bread, is that for physical sin, the payment of physical sin. So if you all like to bow your heads, I'll ask a blessing on the bread. Eternal Father, Creator God, we come before you very grateful for the sacrifice that has been given for each and every one of us. Even if only one of us needed healing, Christ would still have given that sacrifice because of the great love that he has for each and every one of us, and yet the inviolability of your laws and your rules and your ways. We must come totally and utterly in agreement with you and walking in your way physically and spiritually. Father, we really appreciate the fact that he did in fact give himself to be beaten in this way, so that we, when we are sick, might come to you and ask that that penalty might be paid for us. We don't deserve it, but Father, it's part of the very package that you've given us. It helps to teach us many lessons when we are sick. And Father, we just ask you please to sanctify this bread, this unleavened bread that I'm about to break, for this use, that you would help each and every one of us as we take it to just realize the great penalty that was paid on our behalf, and just to really appreciate what Christ has done for us in this way. So we ask for you please to bless this bread for this sacred use, and pray as always through the one that made it possible, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We now come to the second emblem, that of the wine. If we turn over to Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, it says in Hebrews 8 verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with this house of Israel," or the house of Israel, "after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest." And the reason that covenant is possible, it says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." The blood of Christ pays our spiritual sins, and because they are paid, we then have access to this new covenant, this relationship with the Father. Without this blood, without partaking this wine, we would have no relationship with God. It would be that we couldn't pray, we couldn't get through. In chapter 9, in verse 13, it says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the New Testament or the New Covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption or the paying the penalty of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, those that are the called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance." It is a special group of people. Our calling is very special indeed, and certainly in this present time when there's so few of us, It is an incredible calling that we've been given. But we have that because of this sacrifice, because of this blood that has been spilt in our stead. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." That is how we get on our knees to pray. The wine that we will be partaking of tonight is a symbol of that blood that allows us to get on our knees and pray. Because by having our sins wiped out, we can then approach the Father. By a new and a living way that He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh. When the Spirit spear went into that flesh and tore it apart, the veil of the temple was also torn apart and gave access to the Father. And it was the blood that came out at that point that killed Christ and gives us that access, allows us to have that access. If we turn over to 1 John 1, it says, verse 7, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleans us from all sin." It cleans us up from all sin. 1 John 1, verse 7. And that continues then on through our lives. It's a continual thing. We continually come before God and ask for that blood to clean us. But tonight we are taking this wine as a symbol of that blood to just remind us of this absolutely priceless gift that's been given to us on a daily basis. Turn over to Luke chapter 22 again. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 20. It says, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new testament, or new covenant, in my blood, which is shed for you." It allows us to have a relationship with God by paying our sins spiritually. Just as the bread paid them the physical sins, this wine pays the spiritual sins. So if you'd all like to bow your heads, we'll ask a blessing on the wine. Eternal Father, we again bow to You, the loving God who called each and every one of us and has made it possible for us to actually attain a Godhead, to actually become like You, to grow to become like You. But we've been made of clay, Father, and we sin, we continually sin, we continually fall, and we realize that through that process, the only way that would be possible for us to attain the goal that You have set before us is that those sins are covered. And we are very, very grateful, Father, that Christ paid that ultimate penalty so that we don't have to. Without it, there would be no plan. Your entire plan, the holy days, and the very plan that You have is made possible by the very sacrifice of Christ and this blood that covers our spiritual sins. So, Father, we just ask, please, that You would bless this wine, that You would consecrate it for this sacred use, so that we can, in fact, partake of it in the way that You intend. And also, Father, that You would help each and every one of us as we take it to really appreciate the great sacrifice that was given on our behalf. And we do give You grateful thanks for it and for that sacrifice, and ask this blessing on this wine now, again through the name and by the authority of the One that made it all possible, Jesus, the very Christ, we pray. Amen. Having partaken of the actual emblems themselves, it's fitting that we then go through and read the last words that Christ left the church. The ones that He paid the penalties for, the ones that He gave His life for. and went through the beating for. Because within these words, it's certainly, there's an enormous amount of teaching for every single one of us, and it's something that we can certainly be reading at this particular time. So John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. In that way you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And the indication is that type of love. Over in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many offices. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long a time with you, and you have not known me, Philip? He that's seen me has seen the Father, and how do you say then, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father's in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Truly, truly, I say to you, that he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And down in verse 23. And Jesus answered and said to him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and make our abode with him. He that does not love me, doesn't keep my sayings, and the words that you hear is not mine, but the Father's that sent me. And verse chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. Live in me, and I in you. And as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it live in the vine, no more can you, except you live in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words live in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man should lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I don't call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his Lord does. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you shall ask in my Father's, in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another, that we walk in God's way. Over in chapter 17, verse 1, these words spoke Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I finished the work that you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify you me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men which you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things whatever you have given me are of you. For I have given to them the words which you gave to me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that you did send me. I pray for them. I don't pray for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them through your own name, those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. And now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I don't pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify or set them apart through your truth. Your word is truth. And as you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Neither do I pray for these alone, but for those that also shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I will that they also, who you have given me, will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now if we turn back to Matthew 26, Matthew 26. There's only one other occurrence that took place that night, actually on the Passover, when they took the Passover, and that was in verse 30. And when they'd sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, or a psalm. Now, traditionally, the psalms sung at this time of year are called the Hallel Psalms, and the one most likely to be sung is Psalm 118, which is page 89 in the hymnal. Now, we have two hymnals there. There's no prayer that is recorded, so what we will do is just simply sing page 89, O give thanks unto our God, if you'd all like to rise.
O give thanks unto our God, blessed be his name. His mercy shall always endure, his kindness never fails. Let Israel confess to God, his mercy always shall endure. Let Aaron's household now repeat, his mercy never fails. I called upon the Lord my God, in distress I cried. He answered me and set me free, put your confidence in God. With the Eternal on my side, why should I fear what men can do? Trust not in princes nor in man, but afar to trust in God. All nations compass me about, compass me like bees. But the Eternal is my strength, in his name I cut them off. Open the gates of righteousness, where all the righteous enter in. I shall not die, but there shall live, and shall tell of all his works. O give thanks unto our God, he has answered me. He my salvation has become, he the chief, the cornerstone. He by the builders was refused, he was rejected by his own. God is the Lord who showed us light. Blessed be the name of God.